Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'm pleased to reintroduce you to one of my favorite guests on this radio show, Joe Wenderoth. You might know him as a professor of English and creative writing in the Graduate Creative Writing Program at the University of California at Davis. His work has been widely anthologized and appeared in books such as The Best American Essays, The Next American Essay, Poetry 180, The Anchor Book of New American Short Stories, etc. He is giving a reading with Joshua Clover and others tomorrow evening as part of the Poetry Night Reading Series. That's at 8 o'clock at the John Itzulis Gallery, which is 521 First Street here in the city of Davis. I'm pleased that he could join us on the live line to promote that event, and so we can see whatever other things he might say. Joe Wenderoth, welcome back to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So you're reading tomorrow evening in Davis. I've seen flyers around town with your face on them. Tell us about the sort of work that you'll be presenting. Will it be primarily political, or are you going to be delving into other themes?
I actually hadn't thought about it, but I'm not like Whitey. I don't work up to it.
Right.
But the other thing is I haven't heard from them sort of how long I'm supposed to read, so maybe you know.
I do, and I'll send you an email about that and some of the expectations. It's been kind of a witch's brew of organizers with regard to all the people who were helping to put this event together.
A lot of kind of, questionable types.
Yeah. Well, as you'd expect from either the world of poetry or the world of local activists and radicals. Tell me about how it is that you balance the teaching of poetry as a creative art, as something to be fomented and produced, versus poetry that is something to be studied. For these are two different approaches that you take in the classes that you teach at UC Davis.
Well, Alan Grossman has in Summa Lyrica makes a statement. Says interpretation is a banishing ritual. And in some sense, that's kind of how I feel. But it's not to say that he's suggesting that interpretation should not happen. He's just pointing out the kind of the key change that happens when it does happen, when interpretation does happen. I think the key thing is that the presence of the person is banished.
And would that be the presence of the poet, that person?
The speaker of the poem.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't teach the literature courses all that differently from the, like, I'm allowing creativity in them, is what I'm saying, I guess.
And that means with regard to interpretations, but also the essays that are submitted to you for credit in that course?
Or in those courses? I just want to see them thinking, or be able to engage with a text and sort of be not lost, not completely lost. I often choose texts that are kind of difficult, maybe for undergraduates, and that's to my own punishment. But, so I'm just trying to get them engaged with the text, and I don't care if you know, as far as if they go to graduate school, they have to sort of learn to speak in the way that you're supposed to speak as a scholar. And whereas this is primary to, or this is before that sort of in a space of more just creativity.
I see what you're saying.
I don't get that many, one doesn't get that many students in a literature course who are even going to go on to graduate school in that whole world of, everything you accept when you enter into that world.
Well, Joe, you will be reading some poetry tomorrow evening. Do you have a poem nearby that you could share with the listeners of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour?
Oh, wow. I do. I didn't foresee that, but I'm kind of working now on my blogs. Not my blogs, my students' blogs.
Yeah. Which course is that for?
It's a course on William Carlos Williams. This is a poem called Meat-Eating Flowers. Meat-eating flowers in dreams are difficult to arrange. An injured ship, blood to start the wind. Because they have nothing to eat, nothing but themselves and the blood to start the wind.
That's terrific. I noticed that in your poetry, you often explore topics of cruelty, of violence, of potential violence.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because the blog entry I'm just dealing with is one about, it's a poem of Williams where he's talking about hatred and the black winds from the north and hatred. This is a very violent kind of situation, which is, he's simply describing physical reality. It's a very violent kind of situation. And but as far as how that violence kind of can seep into human beings and human beings' behavior, human beings becoming violent is a kind of a different thing, which in 1923, World War I had just ended, so they had seen the kind of first display of how a harnessing of the inherent violence of the universe can produce quite a spectacle of human slaughter. So, anyway, I was thinking about that and the relationship. So that's kind of my answer to you, is that I think when, for me, the cruelty that is insinuated into any situation in a poem is always a kind of a indifference to the physical reality around me and the mortality and but how that violence becomes involved with the human psyche is a pretty strange, it's a very difficult thing to try to get a grasp of, but it's interesting to me.
Absolutely. All right, Joe, I'm looking forward to the reading tomorrow. Is there anything else that you want to plug before we tell people again to come check you and the other poets out tomorrow at 8 o'clock at the John Atsulis Gallery?
Plug. There's a show on Bio called I Survived.
Uh-huh.
It's a good show.
All right. We'll check it out. Joe Wendroth, professor of poetry and creative writing here at the University of California, Davis. Thanks very much for appearing again on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.